It's tuned to yesterday broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host Mark Livonier. In this hour, Romance. Later on, we hear the story Home on Approval on Romance, the series. But right now, the four-star Playhouse featuring Janet Waldo, Gene Bates, and Fred McMurray. In an NBC broadcast from August 28, 1949, the story called Corey.
Here transcribed is another in NBC's outstanding parade of new shows. Four Star Playhouse, a repertory company of four great Hollywood stars.
This is Fred McMurray.
This is Loretta Young.
This is Robert Cummings.
This is Rosalind Russell.
Yes, these are the stars heard weekly on Four Star Playhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our four-star players and star of tonight's play, Mr. Fred McMurray.
Thank you, and welcome to our Playhouse again. Every Sunday evening at this time, Loretta Young, Robert Cummings, Rosalind Russell, and I appear in new dramatizations of stories selected from Cosmopolitan magazine, stories by the world's leading writers of popular fiction. Tonight, I play a man named Corey. A guy who starts as a dishwasher in a summer resort, but who doesn't remain a dishwasher. Janet Waldo plays Jen. Gene Bates is Abby. Here now is Leo Rostand's dynamic yarn, Corey. Curtain, please. There was one small compensation for being a dishwasher at Green Pines Lodge. On my afternoons off, I could swim in the lake. That's what I was doing the day that big speedboat and its passengers first came into my life. The motor was missing. It conked out just offshore.
Hey! Ahoy there! You on the landing! You in the green trunk!
Are you having trouble with your boat?
Our motor's dead. What do we do?
I'll swim out and take a look.
Thanks.
Here I come. Hi.
Here, grab my hand.
Okay, thanks.
Okay?
Yeah. Yes, quite a boat you've got here.
I'm Jennifer Vollard.
Oh, and call me Corey.
Gee, I hope we're not being a big nuisance.
Well, just a little nuisance, Junior.
Junior? I'm 18.
Who's your playmate?
Oh, that's my sister in the stern, hating the machine age. She's Abby Vollard.
I looked into the back of the expensive boat where Abby Vollard sat, almost hidden by a fur lap robe, and my heart stood still. Her eyes were deep blue against dark hair and pure, pale skin. Not just beautiful, but the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. She was class. Class. Me, a dishwasher at the Green Pines Lodge. For the first time in my life, I wanted to hide who I was. I hid behind resentment. I resented the first thing she said.
Hello there.
I'm not a there.
Mere manner of speaking. Let's not make a big issue out of it. Are you staying at the lodge?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm at the Green Pines. I'll have a look at the engine.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, the distributor head worked loose. Child's play. There. See if she'll start now, Junior.
Aye, aye, sir. Amazing.
All right, you can ease her up to the landing now.
I suppose I ought to say I don't know how to thank you.
I know how. You could come for a swim with me tonight.
Golly, he's fresh.
10 o'clock?
I'm afraid not.
Tomorrow, then. I swim every afternoon over there by that big tree. Expect you at 3.
All ashore that's gone ashore.
Excuse me, Mr. Corey.
See you in the Pine Tree Cafe, Jen.
Offer expires at 3 tomorrow.
Coming, Jen.
I'll be right with you, Abby.
Don't be long.
She'll meet me all right, Junior.
You want to bet?
We'll see.
To begin with, she's going into town tomorrow with Alex Wincott.
Who's he?
She's engaged to him. Sort of.
Oh? What does he do?
stockbroker.
Well, if Abby likes that type, tell her I'm also a gambler. I play poker.
She won't appreciate that, I'm sure.
You can tell her something else for me, Junior. Tell her I'm betting she won't marry Alex. Tell her I'm betting she'll marry me.
For heaven's sake.
Tell her. Abby Vollard. That night, I didn't know if I was awake and remembering her or asleep and dreaming of her. But I did know one thing. She was for me. And I'd make her know it. Even if I did come from the wrong side of the tracks, even if I did have a two-bit job at the lodge, I'd change that. I wasn't really expecting Abby the next afternoon, so when the speedboat roared through the inlet, I had to peel off my white monkey jacket. I threw it into the bushes and I ran down the path. When Abby came ashore, I was waiting for her under the trees. Looking for me, Miss Vollard?
I certainly am looking for you.
Well, you found me.
I just want to tell you that I think it was cheap and rotten of you to talk to Jen as you did yesterday. She doesn't understand that kind of foolery.
Maybe I wasn't fooling.
You knew Jen would tell me what you said.
Of course.
Well, why did you do it?
I love you.
What did you say?
I said I love you.
Well, charming. I must tell Alex about this.
Yeah. Yeah, do that.
Good day, Mr. Corey.
Oh, wait a minute.
Please take your hand off me.
I said I love you, and I do. Like this.
You impudent.
Like that.
You kiss beautifully.
You slap impulsively. You're sorry already.
Goodbye, Mr. Corey.
You going someplace?
And the further away, the better.
You'll be back. Jen!
Where have you been keeping yourself, Corey?
Oh, where have you?
Around. Just out walking?
Yeah, that's all.
I'm calling for Abby at the station.
Well, where's she been for the last week?
Chicago. Want to meet her with me?
Sure. Sure, why not?
Hop in.
Thanks.
I don't know why I say this. She's my sister, and I love her dearly, but she's not your kind.
I'll take a chance.
I hope she doesn't break your heart, that's all.
I waited in the car while Jen went up on the train platform to meet her sister. They came toward the car laughing and chattering until Abby saw me.
Jen, what do you mean by this? It's good to have someone along driving at night. Never mind. It's done now.
Shall I drive, girls?
I'll drive.
But do be careful, Abby.
Move over, please.
Oh, she drives furiously when she's angry.
No, well, then I'd better drive.
I said move over.
I'm driving.
Of all the impudent...
I know. But I've got a lot to live for right now, Abby. I'll drive.
Turn up this driveway, Corey.
The Vollard summer stronghold, huh?
Stop here.
I'll take your bag upstairs for you, Abby.
Jen.
Don't be too long, Abby.
Jen, wait.
You wait.
Why?
Please.
Well?
I'm going away.
Oh?
Tomorrow morning.
Because of me?
If I say yes, you'll be flattered. If I say no, you'll think it's an act. So let's just call it goodbye. Huh?
Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.
Don't go. Corey, don't go. Wait.
Yeah?
You're running away from me, aren't you?
Why do you say that?
Because I did the same. I ran away. I went to Chicago to get you out of my mind. I hated you for breaking my pride and making me want you. Oh, I'm a fool and I ought to hate you.
But you don't.
No. And you love me. You said it once, say it again. You love me. Say you love me.
You love me.
I hate you.
Hate me some more like that.
Don't go away tomorrow.
I've got to, Abby.
Well, then drive somewhere tonight.
Where?
I don't know. I don't care. I'll think of something. Drive.
It was beautiful and unbelievable, and it was happening to me. It was the greatest happiness of my life. The next day was the greatest bitterness. Abby had come to look for me to say goodbye again. No one at the Pines knew of a guest named Corey. They just knew a Corey in the kitchen. I'll never forget the look on Abby Vollard's face as she came through the swinging doors. I was elbow deep in greasy suds as I turned to look into those beautiful, shocked eyes.
Corey!
Abby! Abby, listen.
A dishwasher.
Well, it's a job.
Bus boy, a scullery boy made love to Abby Vollard.
Abby.
I don't know you. Get back to your greasy pots and pans and your pails of refuse. I don't know you.
Abby, wait.
I despise you.
Abby.
You are listening to the four-star Playhouse dramatization of Leo Rostand's Cosmopolitan magazine novel, Corey, starring Fred MacMurray, with Jean Bates as Abby and Janet Waldo as Jen.
I kept on the move, trying to forget. Iowa, Nebraska, Colorado, Utah, the West Coast. When money ran out, I'd drive a truck, I'd play some pickup poker, and keep on going. But I couldn't forget Abby. Whenever the memory of her became too sharp, I'd send her a telegram to Chicago.
What did you say this time, Abby?
Someday I'll be back. And I'll break your heart.
I wonder.
I hit Las Vegas. I wanted roulette. I wanted blackjack. At poker, I won a lot. A man tapped me on the shoulder.
You're mighty good, son.
Yeah, not too bad.
Ever think of making a career of poker?
Yeah. Yeah, often.
Good boy. Biloxi's my name.
Biloxi, huh? I've heard of you. I'm Corey. I had the luck, the front, and the brass. Biloxi had the experience, the cash, and the contacts. So we pooled our resources. We made money. We began moving east, city by city. Salt Lake, Denver, Kansas City, Des Moines, Chicago. Chicago. And some unfinished business. Four, six,
two, one. You want me to step outside while you phone, Corey?
No, Biloxi.
I want to talk to you when you're through.
Okay.
Hello?
Jen?
Corey.
Hiya, Junior.
Corey, how wonderful. Oh, where have you been? When did you get in? Oh, golly, it's been 3 years. How are you?
Oh, it couldn't be better.
I suppose you're dying to hear about Abby.
Yeah, I think you're just dying to tell me, huh?
She hasn't changed. She's out now making the final arrangements for the annual Belvedere Ball Saturday night. It's by invitation. Oh, if I'd only known you were coming in, I could have arranged something.
What would Shantytown Corey be doing at the Belvedere Club?
Oh, stop that. I'm not Abby.
No.
Shall I tell her you called?
Sure.
Oh, suppose she wants to call you back.
Well, let me get in touch with her. Now, Jen?
All right, Corey.
See you, Junior. Goodbye.
I always wondered, Corey.
Wondered what?
Why you never bothered much with girls.
What did you want to talk to me about?
Man you ought to see while you're here. Big shot, named Matrobe. Corey, this is Ruby Matrobe I told you about.
How are you, Mr. Matrobe?
Biloxi tells me you're pretty good. At cards, that is.
No, I'm more than just good. I'm untied and undefeated.
Yeah, fresh, isn't he?
It's what gives him his charm, Ruby.
How much did Biloxi tell you about me?
You're the biggest gambling house operator in Chicago.
My boys give the customers a good, clean game and a run for their money. Never had a complaint.
Not even from people who lose their shirts?
My clients have more than one shirt.
What's the deal?
I stake you, you play cards. You get a fifth of the take.
Mm-hmm. I'll think about it.
You know, why think about it?
I'd like to check up on your contacts.
Try me on something.
There's a big dance at the Belvedere Club Saturday night. Invitation only. Get me invited.
Why should I do that for you?
Oh, just to impress me. Goodwill. How about it, Matrobe? The Belvedere Club. Hi, Junior.
Well, how on earth did...
How on earth did I crash the Belvedere Club? We'll go into that later. Where's Abby, Junior?
Oh, out on the terrace with Ronnie Hudson.
Who's Ronnie Hudson?
Don't scowl so. He's my fiancé.
Yours? You're just Junior.
I'm 21. I vote. Oh, here comes Ronnie now. You better get out on the terrace with Abby before these well-bred bucks find out she's alone.
Thanks, Junior. Abby.
Oh, Corey.
I'm back.
How did you get...
I'm a big man now, Abby. I'm in the gravy instead of the grease.
Don't. Don't spoil my being glad you're back.
Thanks, Abby.
Those telegrams. You wouldn't let me forget.
You didn't want to forget.
Every time I got one of those telegrams, I hated you.
Did you, Abby?
No. Oh, darling, don't. Don't drive me crazy. Say you love me.
You love me.
Oh, you fool. Kiss me. Oh, darling, it's so wonderful having you back.
What about Alex Wincott now?
He loves me. I don't love him. Does that satisfy you?
Is he still in the brokerage business?
Why?
Because I, too, madam, am a gambler.
Really?
Really. Shocked?
You're most amazing.
I get more amazing all the time. I'm going into business with a man named Ruby Matrobe.
Matrobe? Well, go on.
And he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to back me in a gambling house that'll be in American Monte Carlo.
Here in Chicago?
Yeah. How does it sound to you?
Oh, it's exciting. You'll be the talk of the town.
Finest club in America. And no ringers, no crooked games. An honest place.
Oh, darling, you're the most fascinating man I ever met.
I get more fascinating all the time. Come here.
Take me somewhere.
Like that last night?
3 years ago, yes. We'll take my car.
Our new club opened up on Lakeshore Drive. The best people, the best food, the best wine, and the straightest gambling tables in the world. It had class. Not bad for a guy from the wrong side of the tracks. Only one thing was missing on opening night. Abby Vollard. By midnight, I knew she wasn't coming. By 4 a.m., the club was almost empty. I went to my office. And there behind my desk in evening dress was Abby Vollard, waiting for me. Well, hello.
Hello, Corey.
I missed you tonight.
I'm sorry, I had a date with Alex.
No, why didn't you bring him here? We could have all had a jolly time together.
Oh, stop that. He did want to come here tonight. He was just spoiling for trouble. It took me almost until now to get him sober and to stop acting like a fool. Oh, what's the difference? I'm going home.
Abby.
Well?
How about dinner tomorrow?
Here? Unescorted with you? What would people say?
Have Alex drop you off.
You're so sure, aren't you?
Dinner at 8, darling?
Sweetheart, will it go to your head if I come here 7 nights a week?
What will you do with all your other evenings? Abby came to the club almost every night. Alex was obliging about bringing her. But no one thought he was liking it, and he wasn't. I felt the tension growing. Something had to happen because of Abby and because Alex had been drinking too much and losing heavily at roulette. Something had to blow off. It did. Okay, come in.
Well, Your Imperial Highness.
Oh, come in, Alex.
I've never seen Your Imperial Mahogany office.
Rosewood, Alex. What's on your mind?
Seen the papers today?
No.
Jen Vollard's getting married.
Married? I knew she was engaged, but...
But she loves you.
Loves me? What are you talking about?
Jen loves you, but she's marrying Ronnie Hudson. You know why? Because it's been understood for some time that she'd marry him.
What's your point, if any?
My point is that Abby loves you, too, but she's going to marry me. Anyhow, you couldn't marry Abby.
No? Why not?
Because you're not her kind, that's why not.
Well, I hadn't given it too much thought before. Now I will. Thanks.
That's all the good it'll do you. You'll see.
Alex, take my advice and stay away from the tables until you sober up.
Well, drunk or sober, class will tell. We're the class. You know what you are. So long, big shot.
I was burning, but Alex had given me an idea. I called Abby and told her we'd have dinner at my office that evening. Then I went out and bought a diamond ring. I never saw Abby as radiant as she was that evening. The firelight on her skin dancing in her eyes. She was enchanting all through dinner. After the waiter wheeled out the table, Abby sank on the couch before the fire, easy and contented. I sat down next to her and kissed her cheek.
You call that a kiss? Oh, darling, you can do better than that.
I will in a minute.
Is that a promise?
Yeah. And here's another. I'm quitting gambling.
Corey.
I'm leaving Chicago.
Oh, no. No, don't go away.
Why not?
Don't you know?
I'd like to hear you tell me.
We can have so much fun here.
You and I could have fun anywhere.
You mean you want to take me with you?
That's the idea.
Oh, but, Corey...
Close your eyes.
Why?
Close them.
All right.
Now, open them.
Oh.
The idea of the diamond ring isn't original. I'm asking you to marry me.
I don't know what to say.
All you have to say is yes.
Well, I'd like to think it over.
What's there to think over?
Heavens, Corey, one doesn't get married just like that.
Don't you want to marry me?
I didn't say that.
Are you afraid to say it?
Why did you have to complicate things? Why couldn't you just take things as they were?
Because that wasn't enough, that's why.
Oh, darling, I'm here. We're together. We can always have each other. I love you, darling.
But you won't marry me.
I'm promised to Alex.
Alex?
He's my kind. But that doesn't mean we couldn't see each other.
You marry Alex and be in love with me?
Can't you understand, darling?
No, I can't understand. I'm stupid. You're telling me you'd marry another man but be in love with me, and I'm telling you it stinks.
Corey, don't be crude.
You're beautiful. You've got money and position and family. But there's something inside of you that's sick.
Shut up.
I never cheated any man. But you are. I don't know.
Swine. Contemptible swine.
Abby.
Alex, what are you doing here?
I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Rover Boy here.
Well, make it fast, keep it civil, and then get out.
The wheels in this dirty club are crooked.
Crooked? Are you crazy?
Crooked wheels. How about that, pure in heart?
No, the man's raving. He's drunk.
Alex.
Jen, get out of here.
No, Corey. Alex, you'd better get out of here.
He's a crook. This whole joint's crooked.
Get him out of here, Abby.
I dropped $14,000 on
those. I tell you, get him out.
I'll show you. I'll
break you. No, you won't.
Hey. Oh.
All right. Pick him up and get him out.
You cheap street brawler. Come on, Alex. Let me help you.
You crook. You dirty crook.
Take him away, Abby, please.
The police will hear about this.
Oh, poor darling. Come on.
So this is what it comes to. The dream.
Oh, don't, Corey, please.
I've lost her, Jim.
Cigarette?
Thanks.
Here. My solid gold lighter. Symbol of my class.
Thanks, Junior.
No. May I say something?
Sure. Sure, shoot.
I'm the one you should have fallen in love with.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you got something there, Junior. Grand Central Station. Yes?
Corey?
Oh, hello, Matrobe.
What do you know? That crybaby gambler, Alex Wincott, just blew his fool top downstairs, saying the roulette wheels are crooked.
Yeah, I know. Better go downstairs and lock the doors. Don't let anyone out of here until we've shown him those wheels are on the level.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Why can't you?
Well, it's our lousy luck that tonight we didn't use the good wheels.
What are you saying, Matrobe?
Our lousy luck.
Have you got crooked wheels spinning in this place?
Yeah, wise up, Corey. High ideals don't yield a profit in this racket.
We've been using crooked wheels right along.
We've been showing a profit right along.
That's why you wanted me. You wanted a front man who was honest and dumb.
You're not dumb if you act smart.
Go down and give Alex his money back.
That's not smart.
Then I'll go down and do it.
Stay where you are, Corey.
Corey.
Guns get you felony raps, Matron.
Guns get you dead, stupid.
Get out of my way.
Might have to shoot you and call it self-defense.
Look, Matron, let the girl out of here and we'll talk this over.
No, I might have to shoot both of you to get rid of a witness. Love pact. Murder and suicide. You know.
You. My fist caught Matron on the chin and he went down. But his gun came up at me off the floor.
Corey, look out!
A sledgehammer hit me in the chest and I fell on Latrobe, grabbing the gun in his hand. Clawing and fighting. His free hand gouging at my eyes. I was turning the gun in his hand, but my grip was slipping. Slipping. I had to turn it. Kill or be killed. I had to turn it. I...
Corey!
Hi, Junior.
You know something? Doctor allows us how you have a lot of life left in you.
I've got a lot to live for, Junior. How's Matrobe?
The police are afraid he'll live, too.
Junior, I've been thinking. You're right. You are the one I should have fallen in love with.
Well...
Will I be okay to come to your wedding?
I'm not marrying Ronnie. It just wouldn't work.
I asked you if I'll be okay to come to your wedding, Jen.
Oh, Corey, it's no use. I don't love Ronnie.
I know. I thought maybe I'd come to your wedding as the groom.
Corey.
Okay, Junior.
Okay. Oh, darling.
Junior. What do I mean, Junior?
Four-Star Playhouse, tonight starring Fred McMurray in Leo Rostand's unusual story, Corey, adapted for radio by Milton Geiger. Janet Waldo was featured as Jen and Jean Bates as Abby Ballard. Others in the cast were Joe Duval, Willard Waterman, and Jack Edwards. Four-Star Playhouse is directed by Warren Lewis. Music composed and conducted by Albert Harris. Portions were transcribed. Fred McMurray will soon be seen starring in Borderline with Claire Trevor.
The Four-Star Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from August 28, 1949. The very same year that leading man Fred McMurray was in one motion picture, the comedy Father Was a Fullback, alongside Maureen O'Hara. It's an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to the show, Romance. This episode from July 23, 1955 on CBS, the story Home on Approval.
Now from Hollywood, Romance. I don't suppose anyone is officially engaged until the home folks have had a chance to meet the lucky fellow. If you've never had this somewhat devastating experience, today's story may be an eye-opener. If you have, you may collect a few interesting memories. So now, with Joyce McCluskey as Monica, we bring you transcribed Kathleen Height's charming story, Home on Approval.
I don't believe I was really excited until I began to recognize familiar old landmarks along the road. In the twilight, I could see the sprawling yellow farm at the top of Bradford Hill. In 3 miles, we'd turn off by the quarry. And 5 miles later, at Stewart's Mill, we'd start up the long willow-lined lane to Gil and Sally's. I could hardly wait.
What are you so tickled about?
We've only got about 8 more miles to go.
You know, I think if I opened the door, you could fly there on your own power.
I could, but I insist on staying with you. I don't think Gil and Sally would let me in without you. Oh, they're so anxious to meet you, Jeff.
Mm. How long since you've seen them?
Well, actually, only a year. They came through New York on the way to Europe last summer. I had dinner with them and saw them off. But, gee, it's been about 3 years, I guess, since I visited them up here. Oh, I hope you like them.
Oh, I like them. Don't worry.
I don't see how you could help it. Any more than they could help adoring you. But if you don't, or they don't...
Just take it easy, Monica. Everybody will love everybody.
Oh, I'm sure of it. But what if you don't? Oh, wouldn't that be the most horrible thing in the world?
No, it wouldn't.
Oh, it would be to me, darling. You're my three most favorite people. Gil and Sally, they're like friends and family all in one. We grew up together, and you...
What about me?
I love you. I'm going to marry you. That's what about you.
You sound pretty sure of yourself.
I am. And better than that, I'm pretty sure of you.
Oh. Yeah, there was someone else up here, wasn't there?
Someone else? Oh, that was a long time ago, darling. When we were all in school. I told you all about Hank, all there was to tell.
Is there any chance he'll be here?
I don't think so. Why?
Oh, I just sort of like to meet him.
I hadn't even thought about it. That Hank might be around while Jeff and I were visiting the Harrisons. Sally hadn't mentioned him. In fact, I couldn't remember when we had talked about Hank. His family still maintained a home up here, as far as I knew, but the idea of seeing Hank again... Well, I was just sure he wouldn't be there. Not that it would upset me or anything like that, but... Oh, I was just sure Hank wouldn't be around.
Jeff can have the guest house... And you can have your own room, Monica.
Oh, sounds perfect, Sally.
So how about another drink, Jeff?
Yes, just a short one.
Fine. Monica?
Not for me, thanks.
Sally?
Easy on the water. Ah, I can hardly believe you're really
here. Well, we are. And we're going to be here 4 whole long days.
Well, you know, Sal, she won't believe it all the time you're here. And after you're gone, she'll swear it never happened.
Well, 4 days now, really. That's not even a good beginning to a visit with Monica. And you too, Jeff. My goodness, we'll hardly get to know you at all.
I've known people who thought 4 days with me was an eternity.
I don't believe it.
Sure.
Here you go, Sal.
Oh, thanks.
Jeff.
Thanks.
Well, here's good to see you.
Cheers.
Was it just awful, Jeff?
No, no, it's fine. It's just the way I like it.
No, I don't mean the drink. I mean coming up here to meet us.
Well, no...
What do you expect him to say?
Well, I...
That he hated the whole idea that if Monica hadn't beaten him every foot of the way to turn back?
I didn't have to beat him once. Just kept a gun at his head.
They're always ganging up on me this way, Jeff. Actually, in my own way, I was sympathizing with you. We've been a tight little triumvirate for so long, I think you're terribly brave to take us all on at once.
Well, we could all have another few drinks and become a tight little quartet. I made it nothing.
Fine.
Hey, you brought your golf clubs, didn't you? Or did Monica forget to warn you?
I brought them.
Great. Got a foursome lined up for tomorrow morning, if that's okay with you, of course.
Gil, I told you not to organize,
Jeff. I'm not organizing.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to strike out at dawn tomorrow and play golf.
He'll love it, won't you, darling?
Sure, sounds fine.
Well, you don't have to play if you don't want to.
No, I'd like to play, really. I was just wondering when I should make my standard little speech about my golf game, you know... I really don't get a chance to play much anymore. I'm probably off my game, which isn't too great when I'm on it.
Hey, sounds you know. Like you're our man. Hank's the only low handicap golfer in the crowd.
Hank?
Hank Stewart, you remember him, Monica.
Oh, my goodness, of course she does. Hank and Monica were... Well, she just wouldn't forget an old friend like Hank.
Yeah, that's right. It'd take some doing for you to forget Hank, wouldn't it?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I didn't mean anything.
Well, so far, we've broken 2 rules. We've organized Jeff.
I did.
After I promised faithfully we just have a quiet visit together, the 4 of us. And now we're talking about people he doesn't know.
No, don't worry about me, Sally. I'm interested. I came up here to meet Monica's friends, especially her old friends.
Jeff wasn't the jealous type any more than I was. And it was perfectly silly to have an awkward situation develop just because Hank Stewart's name came up. But it did seem to me that everyone's conversation was just a little strained after that.
It's been a long time since a young lady saw me to my door.
I wouldn't send you out into the dark night alone, darling.
Oh, but it isn't a dark night. Look at the moon.
Pretty spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sweet little guest house, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice.
I've stayed in it a lot. You can think about that tonight.
I will.
Jeff, if you don't want to play golf in the morning, I mean, if you'd rather sleep in, I know Gil won't mind.
Oh, I'd like to play.
Well, you're probably tired from the drive and all, and...
Am I?
Well, you must be.
No, I feel fine.
We could forget all about the golf and get up early, just you and I. And I know the most wonderful spot down by the mill where we can fix breakfast.
Oh, no, I think maybe I ought to play golf. Gil's arranged everything in there. I'd really like a game.
There are hundreds of wild currants growing around the river. I'll bet it's been years since you ate wild currants for breakfast.
It's been all my life. I never ate wild currants for breakfast.
Well, you see...
No. Look, Monica, don't you want me to play golf in the morning?
Well... If you'd rather.
No, it isn't that, but you brought me up here to meet your friends. I came because I wanted to. Now you want to get up and go off alone somewhere.
What? It doesn't make much sense, does it?
No, darling, it doesn't.
Jeff.
Hmm?
He didn't mean anything to me, not really. The way you do. Whatever there was over a long time ago.
Look, I'm not worried about Hank.
If you're going to be concerned, well... Then it just isn't worth it for both of us to be up here. I won't have you upset.
I'm not upset.
You sure?
Sure. Honey, I think I ought to meet Hank, and I think maybe you ought to see him again.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we'll run into each other. I mean, that could happen. It won't mean anything.
That's why I think you ought to see him.
Hmm?
Because it won't mean anything.
Well, I felt like a fool, of course. Getting all steamed up just because Jeff and Hank were going to play golf in the same foursome. Of course they should meet each other. Well, I don't know any reason why they should, really. But it was perfectly all right for them to meet. Why was I so upset?
You remember, Monica, she was the one who made such a scene at Laura Ramsey's wedding. Stepped right on Mrs. Ramsey's ankle and hit Phil's mother in the face trying to catch Laura's bouquet.
Huh?
Well, not so loud. She's just two tables away.
Who?
Barbara Enright.
Oh, her. What about her?
Well, I've told you. She's trying very hard not to notice you. In between times, she simply glares at you.
Barbara Enright glaring at me?
Uh-huh.
My heavens, I haven't seen her in 5 years, and I never knew her very well then.
Well, it's perfectly obvious to me. She's going with Hank now, and she can't stand the sight of you.
Oh, Sally, that's ridiculous.
I know, but what else could it be? She shouldn't wear that shade of brown, either. She's much too sallow. Oh, look, isn't that John and Roma Dana teeing off on the 10th?
Sally, this business about Hank is getting all out of hand. Do you realize I haven't seen him for I don't know how long? And even if I did, whatever there was between us is just as stone cold dead as anything I can imagine.
What's the matter?
There he is. He's coming this way.
There she is. Monica.
Oh, Monica, how are
well,
you?
Well, fine, thank you, Hank. You look well.
You look wonderful.
Well, how was the game, Jeff?
Great. Hank here took all the marbles.
Oh, city life sure agrees with you, girl.
Country life's doing all right by you, too.
Gil's changing, Sally. He'll be right along.
Jeff! Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Imagine seeing me here.
Oh,
return to romance and our story, Home on Approval, in just a moment. It's all right to have lots of warmth in the old homestead, but it's just plain foolish to have piles of rubble that might one day or night burn you out. Let's cultivate the out-with-it habit. Anything burnable that you throw out can never start a fire in your home. CBS Radio suggests, don't stack it up. Pack it up and throw it out. Prevent fires in your homes. And now for the second act of Romance.
Hank had no right to look like he did. He didn't have to spend the years since I'd seen him getting handsomer, taller, tanner. He needn't have bothered keeping all his hair in the trimmest waistline in the world. Naturally, I told myself these things aren't really important. I told myself several times during the barbecue Gil and Sally had that evening for Jeff and me, with Hank and Barbara. I told myself the same thing the next day when we all went sailing together. And that night, at the club dance, I started telling myself all over again.
And remember the time the car broke down on the way back from the game at New Haven and all that rain?
Oh, we had to stay all night with that funny old maid who never took in people.
Yeah, I don't think the old gal slept a wink that night.
No.
Remember, the only room she had were upstairs and she slept downstairs. And we kept marching around all night with that hurricane lamp in her hand. Man, she was nervous.
I'll never forget what she said to Sally and me. Young ladies, mind, you're good girls now. I don't hold with lollygagging.
Hank and I went to every home game at New Haven last fall, didn't we, honey?
Yeah, I guess we did.
Oh, I just love football. Don't you, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm quite a fan. Last few years, I've gotten more interested in the pro game, though. Monica seems to like it, too.
Professional football? You, Monica?
Well, we have seen most of the Giants games. Of course, it isn't anything like watching Yale play. Well, I mean, like we used to, and all that.
Ever been up the Yale Bowl, Jeff?
No, never have.
You've never seen a Yale-Harvard game?
Sue me. I never have.
Jeff went to school in California.
Oh, and he seems like such a nice person.
I have an aunt in California. I forget where.
Is that your home, Jeff, California?
No, I just wanted to go to school out there. My home's in Camden, New Jersey.
Camden, New Jersey?
Uh-huh.
Do you by any chance know Stella Lewis?
Stella? Know her? My gosh, I grew up with her.
Well, she was my roommate in college, of course.
Oh.
Jeff Russell, I knew I'd seen you somewhere.
You two have met before?
Well, not officially, but his picture was on our dressing table for 4 years.
Isn't it a small world?
It's positively tiny. What on earth happened to Stella? I haven't heard from her in years.
Oh, she's fine, I guess. Golly, I haven't thought about her for a long time. Would you like to dance, Barbara?
Oh, yes, I'd love to.
You two don't mind, do you?
No, go ahead. We can manage, can't we, Monica?
Yes, sure. You must have a lot to talk about.
Oh, believe me, we do.
We've got a lot to talk about, too, Monica. Dance?
I'd love to.
Excuse us, please.
Sure.
This seems awfully right, dancing with you again.
Do you see a lot of Barbara Hayes?
Oh, quite a bit. She's a lot of fun. Well, we're about all that's left up here. We're still single. You like her?
Oh, I never knew her very well. She seems nice.
You haven't been around, Monica, for too long. You know that?
You were gone, I guess, when I was up here a couple of years ago.
I didn't know you were coming. I'd have been here. You know that.
You're holding me a little tight, Hank.
I'll bet I am. He's nice, Monica.
Yes, he is.
I don't want to like him very much, but I think if I got to know him better, I'd find he was a great guy.
He is. A great guy.
Is he the one?
I think so, Hank.
Well, aren't you sure?
Well, yes, I... Can't we just dance?
Sure. Sure we can.
Why couldn't I say it? Why didn't I tell Hank right out that, yes, Jeff was the one? That I was sure he was. I'd been so sure before. 2 days ago, I'd have sworn...
What am I saying? I did swear it couldn't happen. Now I was sure of just one thing. I was confused. Thoroughly confused.
Maybe you better go on in. Get to bed, honey. You seem pretty tired.
No, I'm not tired. Certainly not sleepy.
You got awfully quiet toward the end of the evening. What? Something wrong?
No, not wrong. Not anything.
I understand.
Do you?
Sure.
How? What do you understand?
You and what's bothering you.
I'd like to. Help me out.
You thought there wasn't anything in the past to hold you. You come back, you see your old friends, go to the old places, and some of the past just reaches out and holds you again.
Some of the past?
All right. Hank. That's it, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't see how it could be.
Well, if it isn't Hank, what is it?
It's just that I'm confused, Jeff. I was so sure, so very sure, and now...
You're not very sure, are you?
I guess not, Jeff. Jeff, I didn't want this to happen. I didn't think it could happen.
No, it's all right, Monica.
But it isn't. It isn't all right. I couldn't... I'm not in love with Hank.
But you're not sure you're in love with me.
I'm just confused. I don't know what to say.
Try saying goodnight, Monica. I think that's the best thing for both of us right now.
I needed his understanding more than anything right then. If he'd reacted differently, if he'd pressed me for an answer, a decision, I don't know what I'd have done. I didn't expect to, but I slept fairly well that night once I got around to it. I'd like to say I woke up with a clear course of action in mind, or a clear choice, but I didn't.
Honestly, Monica, if I'd even dreamed this could happen, I'd have never invited Hank and Barbara to spend so much time with us.
Oh, I'd have run into him somewhere. It isn't your fault. Isn't Jeff up yet?
Hours ago. He and Gil had breakfast together. I don't know where they've gone off to. I guess you haven't told him yet, huh?
Well, he knows. We talked about it a little last night when we got home.
Well, he certainly is taking it with the best grace in the world. He was laughing and singing around here this morning.
Oh, he was wonderful about it. So understanding.
It's odd. He's been rather quiet since he's been here. But this morning he was almost bubbly.
Bubbly?
You know, cheerful. Unusually cheerful. Like I said, laughing, singing. Is he bubbly by nature?
No, he isn't.
He's probably just being brave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, darling. Where's Jeff?
Hi, sweetie. Morning, Monica.
Morning.
Any coffee left?
Oh, plenty.
Where is Jeff?
Well, he left.
Left?
He did.
Yeah, he said not to disturb you two. I just ran him down to the airport. Something came up at the office, he said, and for you to keep the car and drive back to New York when you were ready.
Well, did he get a call from the office?
No, he placed one. After you went back to bed, Sally. Funny.
What's funny?
Well, I wasn't trying to hear anything, but when he placed that call, I'd have sworn I heard him say Camden, New Jersey.
You're back from the country early, aren't you?
I'd better be early. Well, where is she?
She?
You know very well who I'm talking about. If you think you fooled me with that something came up at the office bit you threw at Gil...
I didn't think I'd fool you, Monica.
All I want to know is where is she? Or isn't she here yet?
Now, did you really expect to find somebody here in my apartment?
I didn't even expect to find you here.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't know where else to come.
You made pretty good time.
I made superb time, and I have the traffic ticket to prove it. Now, you listen to me, Jeff Russell. Just because I had a moment's hesitation when I ran into an old beau, you needn't think you can go checking up on any loose ends in Camden, New Jersey.
A moment's hesitation?
Well, it was no more than that.
You're not confused anymore?
No, I'm not. And don't you go getting confused with... what's her name?
Stella Lewis?
That's the one.
I'm not the slightest bit confused about Stella Lewis.
You're not?
No. She got married 5 years ago to Otto McQueen.
Well, then why did you call her this morning?
I didn't. I called my mother in Camden. And then I got the idea that maybe it might clear the air a little if I came back here. I was pretty sure you wouldn't buy that something came up at the office bit.
You tricked me?
Oh, I sure did, honey. And if I had to do it over again, I'd do exactly the same thing.
Jeff Russell, I ought to just... but I think I'll marry you instead.
Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonald with editorial supervision by Het Mannheim. You have heard Home on Approval, specially written for Romance by Kathleen Height, starring Joyce McCluskey as Monica. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Gene Bates, Harry Bartell, Paul Dubov, and Virginia Gregg. This is Joe Walters inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time.
Romance on Tuned to Yesterday from July 23rd, 1955 on CBS. And that brings to a close an hour of Romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.